Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you. It's the first time that I'm with you this year, so I hope it's not too late for me to say that I really hope it's a good year for you. It's good to be with you again. I've missed being here, and I really pray that God will be with us on our journey together this year in this particular community. I hope that you have got a bulletin that you received as you entered. And if you could just pull out this white leaflet, you'll find the reading for today. We're beginning a four-week series, Ancient Wisdom, and we will be looking at the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And I was just thinking, just before the service, today I think it's the 29th of January, I think that between now and the last Sunday that we will be looking at this series, there I think are 31 days. And there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And I want to invite you, if I may, to maybe over the next 31 days, for the rest of January and for the whole of February, to read one chapter of this book per day. One chapter of the book of Proverbs, and maybe as you read it, you can ask God to highlight one verse in each chapter for you. Write that verse down and take that verse with you into the day and ask God to help you to build that verse into your life. I'm going to be doing that. I hope that you will do it, and I hope that it will be a profitable. I think it's the wise thing to do. So our reading this morning comes right from the beginning of the book of Proverbs. It should go up on the screens on either side, and I'm going to read the first seven verses. I'm going to use a lot of scripture today, so I hope you've got a pencil or pen so that you can make a few notes of the scriptures that I will give you that you can look at again and again today and the rest of this week. But let me read now for the first seven verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. For giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let me just read that last verse. It's been very important for me over the years. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we thank God so much for these words, and we pray that God will speak to us today through these words. I was thinking last night, just before I went to bed, that I've been a pastor now for just over 35, 36 years, and it's been a massive privilege, a massive, massive privilege. And I think one of the greatest privileges, and perhaps there are some pastors in the congregation today, but I think one of the greatest privileges of being a pastor is the sacred privilege of being able to get close to people. Just to get close to people. And when I look back over these 35, 36 years, there have been literally thousands of people moments, people encounters, sharing with people, listening to people, crying with people, celebrating with people, finding Christ with people. And reflecting on all these people encounters clarifies for me one of the big questions of our time. How can we live well? How can we live well? Huh? We have got one life. How do we do it well? When it comes to our relationships and parenting, when it comes to our jobs and careers, when it comes to living in the midst of this turbulent country, how can we live well? Well, when you look around today, just through observation, when we look around today, modern answers don't seem to be helping us too much. In spite of the incredible amount of information available today, never before has so much information been available to ordinary people. In spite of all the technology advances, in spite of all the experts in all the different areas of human living, in spite of all the self-help books, we don't seem to live well. Just think for a moment of the immense pain sometimes that we cause ourselves and that we cause others through the decisions and the choices that we make every day. Huh? We just sometimes live so badly. I don't know how many times when I listen to people, I hear a phrase. And this is the phrase, and I hear it sometimes from the cleverest people I know. I don't know how I could have been so stupid. I don't know how I could have been so stupid. It reminds me of that delightful story. It just came to me as I was standing there. Of that, do you remember that plane and there are three people on the plane? The pilot, a young person, and the cleverest person in the world. And the light aircraft gets into trouble. And the problem is there are only two parachutes. So they quickly get together and the cleverest guy in the world says, look here, the world needs me. I'm the cleverest man in this world. He grabs the pack from the young guy and jumps out. The pilot says to the young guy, there are only two left. The pilot says to the young guy, look here, I've lived my life. It's been a good life. You take the other parachute and you jump out. And the young guy says, relax, relax. The cleverest man has just jumped out of this aircraft with my backpack. And we live in a world where clever people are jumping out of the aircraft with backpacks. So what I want to do this morning, it's very simple. What I want to do is I want to extend an invitation. And it's an invitation, 4 weeks, to enroll in God's school of wisdom. To become a student, a pupil, a learner in God's school of wisdom. If we're going to live well, if we are going to discover a flourishing life amidst the traumas and the trials and the temptations of our lives, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. And wisdom is more than information. And wisdom is more than human cleverness. You know that. I know that. Some of the worst things in our world are done by clever people. Wisdom is different to cleverness. The opposite of wisdom is not ignorance. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. It's stupidity. Our deepest need is wisdom. Wisdom so that we can navigate our way through life. Wisdom so that we can discern between true and falsehood. Wisdom so that we can join our intellect and character. Wisdom so that we can build a foundation on which we can build a life that is stable. That's what we need. Wisdom is indispensable for a flourishing life. Indispensable. But where do we get it? Where do we get it? When we were planning the service a few weeks ago, we were sitting together in the worship team, the tremendous team, and Diani, one of the members in the worship team, said to me, "Trevor, I know wisdom matters. I know wisdom is important, but how do we access it? How do we find it? How do we discover it?" And that is a critical question. It's a critical question. And I've been thinking about it ever since Diani asked that question. And I just want to share some thoughts based on the Proverbs. I just want to share them with you. And I want you to think about this with me. You may want to make one or two notes. You may want to write down one or two of the Proverbs. But I'm just hoping that we can get on the path to wisdom. To wisdom. Before it's too late. Before it's too late. I think the beginning of the journey starts when we let God be God. When we begin to live with reverence and respect and awe in the midst of this great mystery that we call God. That's where wisdom begins. Just look at this proverb again. And I read it to you earlier. If we can go to the first one, I think it's chapter 1, verse 7. If we can just look at it quickly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning. The fear of the Lord. Now, that's tricky language. And we need to be careful. When you read the Bible, there is unhealthy fear and there is healthy fear. Unhealthy fear cripples us. It paralyzes us. It immobilizes us. Unhealthy fear, we've got to face. Unhealthy fear, we've got to talk about with someone that we can trust. Maybe a professional person. Unhealthy fear, we need to be liberated from. But we need healthy fear. And especially with God. Especially with God. And the best way I can describe healthy fear is to live with respect, to live with respect and reverence before God. To realize that we are not God. Huh? First step towards wisdom. You're not God. Let's stop playing God. Let's let God be God. Huh? Wisdom begins to come our way. I went to university for the first time when I was 26. I never got what I needed to get because I was a bit doff. I didn't get what I needed to get into university when I left school. So I could only go when they let, you know, the dwarf ones in like myself around 25, 26. I was very arrogant when I went to university. That's the only way I can describe. I was an arrogant Christian. I kind of thought I had all the answers, knew everything. Most first years think they know everything. I thought I knew everything. And I never forget it. It's a moment that I've never forgotten. I was walking through the courtyard of one of the faculties, I don't remember which one, and one of my professors, wonderful man, by the name of Calvin Cook, who died about 2 weeks ago, a Presbyterian professor, he put his arm around me, and I think he had picked up my arrogance. And he put his arm around and he spoke one of those sentences that I've never forgotten. It kind of scorched its way into my heart. He said to me, these were his words. Can you imagine how I felt? He put his arm around me and he said these words, Trevor, when you are in the presence of the real God, you either shut up or you fall on your face. He was teaching me to live with awe, with respect, with reverence in the face of this incredible God. First step towards wisdom. And so I want to encourage you, friends. Can I give you a proverb? Just each day, here's another proverb that I love, and this helps me to live with respect and reverence. Can I just give it to you? Make a note of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Every day. That doesn't mean we don't do our best. We do our best every day, but we don't trust our best. We do our best and we trust God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. There's nothing wrong with it, but don't lean on it. I love this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways. When I wake up in the morning, acknowledge God. When I go to work, acknowledge God. When I go on an overseas trip, acknowledge God. When I fill out my SARS tax form, acknowledge God. When I enter a board meeting, acknowledge God. When I have a date, acknowledge God. In all my ways, I acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. He'll do something. I'm able to navigate my way through life. So that's the first thought that I want to share with you. The path to wisdom begins when we let God be God. Can I share with you another thought? The path to wisdom involves the humility of receiving wisdom from the wise. Wisdom is receiving wisdom from the wise. I read those words to you. Look at this again. It'll come up now. The wisdom for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior. The word that jumped out at me when I read that was the word receiving. Receiving. I don't manufacture wisdom. Wisdom is received from the wise. Huh? Wisdom is received. Can I share some good news with you? Wonderful news. God has revealed His wisdom to us in Jesus Christ. Can I say that again? God has revealed His wisdom to us in Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul, writing about Jesus Christ, says, in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is the wise one. Jesus is not doof. Jesus is not just nice. Jesus is brilliant. In Jesus, God unveils the divine wisdom for human living. Jesus knows how life works. Jesus interprets reality to us, the reality of God, the reality of our lives, the reality of this universe. If you were to say to me, Trevor, why do you follow Jesus? I follow Him because one of the reasons, at least, He helps me to find a life that works. He's done that for 40 years. He's taken a dwarf guy born in PE and he's helped me to discover a flourishing life amidst the pain and the trauma and the tragedies and the disappointments of my life. That's why I follow him. Now, you may not buy this, I know, and I respect you if you don't. But if you are struggling with what I'm saying, can I respectfully ask you a question? Do you know of anyone who is wiser than Jesus? Look at human history. Just look at it. Put everyone out there. Do you know of anyone wiser than Jesus? Do you know of anyone who has lived this life, entered into death, and come out on the other side as the resurrected Lord? Who else is there? And it's as I follow Jesus, and when I put Jesus at the center of my world, especially when my world is messed up, he slowly helps me to make sense of that world as I unpack the treasures of his wisdom. I don't know what's going on in your world at the moment. I don't know if it's upside down. I don't know if it's painful. I don't know if it's sore. All I want to say, put Christ at the center of that world. Learn to trust him, to follow him. And slowly that world which doesn't make sense begins to make sense. Huh? We receive wisdom from the wise. That's why I think there's an important place for mentors in our life as well. Just to have mentors. People in our lives who are wise. Huh? Find mentors. People that in whom you see wisdom. People who seem to live well. They may not be rich. They may not be clever. But they live well. They suffer well. They love well. They are faithful to their commitments. There is a wisdom to their life. Find those mentors. You will pray for me. I turned 60 last year. It's not the end, but I can see the end from where I'm standing. Huh? And what I'm doing at the moment is I find mentors who are 70. Who are living well. And I want to learn from them. I want to receive wisdom from the wise. Look at this proverb. It's an incredible proverb. Walk with the wise. Walk with the wise. Don't walk with fools. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Who are you hanging out with? Can I say one more thing and then we're out of here? We go on the path of wisdom. We go on this journey towards wisdom when we learn to ask one question over and over and over again. When I allow one question to become a habit in my life, one question. And it's a question prompted by this verse written in the letter of James. James, if anyone, now you know James was brother to Jesus, so he had absorbed the wisdom of Jesus. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And the question is this, Lord, what is the wise thing to do now? Make that question a habit. Lord, what is the wise thing to do now? Before choosing a career, Lord, what is the wise thing to do? Before choosing a soulmate, a marriage partner, before having sex with someone that you've just met, before turning on the internet, before putting your foot down on the gas in the car, before deciding to spend money or save money, before deciding to change jobs, before deciding to call it quits in your relationship, before you do anything, Lord, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? And you don't get a computer printout from heaven, I'm sorry. But what we do get is we get a little bit of light that God gives us to take the next practical step. God just helps us to connect the dots. Just to connect the dots. Lord, what is the wise thing to do? Let that question become a habit. Before anything, Lord, what is the wise thing? The wise thing to do. Let me end. Has this been helpful? I don't know. I tried my best, but I'm not trusting my best. I'm trusting God. I hope it's been helpful. Huh? Wisdom is indispensable for a flourishing life. Indispensable. And I'm inviting you today to enroll in God's school of wisdom. It begins when we let God be God. That's when it begins. Just letting God be God. Acknowledging God. We take another step when we get connected to Jesus Christ, who unveils the wisdom of God. It takes place when we ask that question, Lord, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Some of us need to ask that question right now as we walk out. What is the wise thing to do? The flourishing life is the wisdom life. Amen. It's the first Sunday that I'm with you in the new year. I would like to bless you. Are you up for that? I hope so. But it means that you need to stand, if you don't mind doing that, and just receiving my words of blessing. That's all. Just receiving them. Friends, I just want to bless you with a new knowledge of who you are, that you are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. I want to bless your spirits today, that they may come alive again with a new aliveness to God, to Jesus Christ. Bless you. I want to bless your minds, that God's wisdom will infiltrate all the dark thinking and the unhelpful thinking. And the irrational thinking. That may God may bless your thinking and your minds. May God bless you. Just receive that blessing into your mind. May God bless your bodies with new vitality and freshness and energy and healing. May God bless you. May God bless you. Receive it. May God bless your relationships. Where there is estrangement, may there be reconciliation. Where there has been hurt, may there be forgiveness. Where there is pain, may there be deep healing. May God bless you. Bless your relationship with your parents, with your partners, with your children, with your grandchildren, with people that you don't like. May God bless your relationship. May God bring us with a new aliveness just to God's world and the beauty and the wonder of this world, to the sky and the mountains and the rivers and the grass and the insects and the animals. May there just be a new aliveness to God's world. May God bless you with a new aliveness. A new aliveness. May God bless you, friends. Receive that blessing. Receive that blessing. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the joy of Christ be with you. Amen. Amen.